Bring your Bibles, if you would, tonight to the book of Isaiah, chapter 54. And tonight we'll finish up, Lord willing, on a series that we've been having here a number of weeks ago on a Sunday morning. I preached out of 1 Samuel on the subject of a beautiful woman with good understanding. And that's what we need today, are ladies that are beautiful and with good understanding. And God bless in that sermon, and many ladies of our church, that preacher, that really spoke to my heart. It seems like for a long time that we think if a lady is beautiful, then she's got to be dumb. We think that if she's, takes care of herself and looks nice and has her hair combed nice and beautiful and puts on some nice makeup and everything, we think, well, you know, she's beautiful, but she must not be too bright. Or we'll find someone that we kind of tease and say, you know, it'd be better if she wore a sack over her head. And might be better, you know, or something like that, with peace, you know, and say, but man, she's bright, she's smart, she's intelligent, you know. But in this passage, a scripture that I dealt with from God's Word was that a woman was beautiful and she had some brains too. In fact, she was a very great asset to her husband. And then, that Sunday night, you remember, I preached on the All-American Dud. Oh, you talking about, she was great, but her husband was a dud. And I call it the All-American Dud. And he was. He was selfish and self-centered. I preached on that. He was kind of strange, you know. But he had a loving wife. Had a great wife. And so I talked that morning about a beautiful woman with good understanding. And those are the words right out of the Bible. And then that night, now the All-American Dud, I didn't take that out. That was just characteristics of this fellow out of the same passage. And then we got into children, and this is my last week on children for a while. I shared a sermon with you on how to raise a hippie, how to raise a bum. A couple other messages went along that way. And then I thought maybe it'd be good on sharing on how to raise a spoiled brat. And many of you said, preacher, I like it. I've been writing all those things down. Well, tonight we'll finish up. Isaiah 54, verse 13. Now, when I say that, when I'm mentioning if it's a fellow, I'm talking about fellows and girls alike. And of course, I know I don't think there's a mom and dad in this auditorium or anywhere that wants their kids to turn out wrong, but wants them to turn out right. And hopefully, that's the intent of this sermon. I use catchy titles to for you to listen and to see. But verse 13 is a verse that I've read many times but never really sunk in. You know, maybe that's happened to you before. But verse 13 says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be the peace of that children." And I find out so much that the children, they don't have peace, and their parents don't have peace. And there seems to be a lot of turmoil. Why is it? Well, according to this verse here, it says if we teach our children right, and we teach them of the Lord, and we teach them about God, and we teach them about the things of God, then not only are they going to have peace. Now, I don't think there's anything worse than to see a mom crying over her kids. I don't think there's anything worse. It breaks my heart to see a mother and the tears flow from her eyes and down her cheeks, I should say, from her eyes, and she's heartbroken over her son or her daughter. Now, when I was growing up, my brother always used to say he was the black sheep of the family. You remember that, Mom? He always used to say, "I'm the black sheep of the family." Well, he wasn't. But it seems like that people think that. They think that every family's got to have one guy or one girl that didn't turn out right. Well, I don't believe that that necessarily has to be true. I don't think that we have to have a black sheep in our family. I think that, according to this verse, it says, "And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." And so if we want, as parents, to have peace with our children, our grandkids, our great-grandkids, and so on, then we're going to have to do our best to teach them. Now, I'm not a grandpa yet, because none of my kids are married yet. But I'm looking forward to the time that I get to be a grandpa. Now, my wife always says, "You can be the grandpa, but don't call me grandma," you know. And we tease about that because of age and so on. But I'm looking forward to the time that I get to be a grandpa. I don't know if Dave's going to get married. But I don't know if anyone I have them. But anyhow, I'm looking forward to the time that we have some kids, grandkids. And I hope that I'm a godly grandfather or grandpa. I really do. I'm already preparing for it. Now, I know that sounds crazy, and you say, "Preacher, it's going to be a while before you have any grandkids," but I'm already preparing in my heart for it. I think my dad, before he passed away, one of the greatest joys that he had, and he always teased us about it, he said, "You know, it's wonderful to do it, Grandpa, because the grandkids come, and I can spoil them, and when I get done spoiling them, I send them home," you know. And he always laughed about that. He thought that was funny, you know. He says, I take them and have fun, and I just spoil them to death, and then I send them back to mom and dad. Well, he didn't really mean it altogether that way. But he enjoyed his grandkids while he was alive. And I got thinking about that, that maybe I'll prepare that someday that I'll be a grandpa. And how would I be a grandpa? Would I be a good one? Would I be a bad one? I think a lot of times that we don't think of that way. We always think about, oh, man, oh, grandpa, I'm old, you know. But I think there's some great rewards of being a grandparent. And I think there's some great things that you can do for your grandkids and for your children if you're the right kind of grandparent, be grandma or grandpa, either one. Now it says here, and all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Now I'm not going to go through all the ones in the Bible. I have a few of them before, like Amnon and so on, like that, and Eli's sons, and how they turned out bad, and Korah, his sons, followed after him, and they rebelled against Moses and caused a lot of problems, and God just one day opened up the earth and said, zoop, and they went down into the pit. And that was God's chastisement. That's the way God dealt with them. Now, it's important that our kids turn out right. I know that all of you that are moms and dads, you love your children. I know you do. And you want the best for your kids. And there's nothing wrong in that. Nothing at all. Now, I pointed out, what point? Anyone have their notes here tonight? What point did I leave off on? Anyone have? Eight? All right. Let me run real quick through eight, and then we're going to have to go on. But one was tonight, I just dealt with Scripture. Basically, Scripture out of the Word of God. All right, number one, spoil him and let him have his way. Now, if you're going to raise a spoiled brat, that's what you do. You just spoil and let him have his way. Second point was never say no. There's times where you have to say no. I think one of the first words a child learns is no. It's probably not mommy or daddy is, but it just seems like in our family, our kids, one of the first things, and just kind of a built-in thing to say no. You know. The third point was try to give to him everything that you didn't have when you were growing up, and I spent some time on that it's important that you be careful about doing that very thing, because see, what made you were those rough times, and what made you have character that you have today is because you had to go through those things. And I think a very bad mistake that we make is saying, and please don't take this wrong, no mom and dad, especially, I'm a father of four, I would not wish wrong or bad on my children, no, not at all. And I think any parent would do that, that, you know, there's something wrong with them. You love your kids. I love my children. But I think sometimes that we want so much, we don't want them to go through the hard times. We don't want them to experience some of the things that we had. And so therefore, we give them a little bit more than, and we sacrifice a little bit more on ourselves so that they, for them to have, and we don't have, and so on, okay? Now, in doing that, there's a great danger. We try to give them everything, and when you do that, you spoil them, and pretty soon they begin to expect it. Number four, take his side in all matters. I mean, if you're going to raise a spoiled brat, remember that your child, be he or her, never makes a mistake, never does a wrong thing. It's always the other kid. Okay? Now, if you're going to spoil your child, that's what you do. You just make, in your mind, you just take his side in all matters. No matter what, you take his side. All right? Number five, let him criticize people. And folks, I want to tell you something. This is devastating. This is devastating. It really is. This is so devastating to let our children criticize. Criticize a pastor, teachers, peer group, church, whatever it may be. You know, a lot of times we allow this only because everyone is always against him or her. That's the way we feel. Boy, you know, Tommy over here, everybody's against him. Everybody. It doesn't matter who it is. And if you're not careful, folks, if you're not careful, you'll spoil a child by thinking that everyone's against him. Everyone's not against him. Everyone's not against her. All right? But if you want to spoil bread on your hands, then you, in front of him, let him criticize people. Let him come home from Sunday school and say, boy, that teacher today, she was so boring. Let him come home from Sunday school and say, boy, I tell you, preacher, he just preached. I'm going to tell you something. What it does, it's devastating upon not only their spiritual life, but it affects them. Criticism, I don't care if it be a small child, a teenager, or an adult. Criticism destroys your spirituality, and it does something to you physically. Sometime I'll share some things from God's Word about that. But criticism destroys a person's personality. It does. Criticism destroys a person's life. If a person criticizes long enough, especially if they start when they're real young, and they start, I have a real fear when I see a young person, no matter how old they are, where they criticize, where they never see anything good, everything's bad. Well, that is a reflection that the parents are doing that in the home. And I'll tell you, it's very, very, very physically harmful to them and to those that are around. Okay? So let them criticize. If you want to raise a spoiled brat, let them criticize people. Number six,
tell him he's pretty.
Now you say, I wouldn't tell my boy that. No, a lot of people do. I've seen where people do that. Oh, you're such a pretty boy. You know, no. But boys are handsome. We're supposed to be, and girls are pretty. And be careful. You want to raise a spoiled brat, tell him he's pretty. Compliment him on his appearance instead of complimenting him on his Christian character. I want to tell you something. Most important thing you can do, and I'm going to come to it, but the most important thing you do with your kids, when they're old enough, is give them some chores to do around the house. I'm going to come to that point. But that's the most important thing you can do. Sure, there's times when my girls, they'll come by and I'll say, oh, you look nice. Now, I'm not saying that you never tell your children they don't look nice, okay? No, I'm not saying that. But if you dwell only on the outer appearance instead of the things that they do. In other words, it'd be better for when Bobby comes out and he has brushed his teeth on his own. Now, that's a good one. That takes care of him. And instead of saying, boy, you look sharp, you look nice, and say, hey, did you brush your teeth by yourself? I sure did. Well, Bobby, that's great. That's beautiful. You know, that's wonderful that you do something like that. Or when they take the garbage out, you know. We yell and scream when they don't, right?
Sure we do.
I mean, we get upset when they don't do their chores. They don't make their bed, you know. We get upset. Our kids all know it. The dog knows it. Cat knows it. The bird next door, you know, the parakeet. They all know it when we get upset with our kids. But do we ever take time out to say, well, that was real nice. You took the garbage out. That's really nice of you. Now, any time we do that, we usually make a big spectacular out. Boy, you haven't done that for 2 months. That's pretty good, son. You know? Well, you just destroyed everything if that's how you compliment your kids when they do something. I mean, if that's how you compliment them by really putting a jab in there, and I think we're all probably guilty of that to some point, but really, if you want to spoil your kid and you want him to grow up as a spoiled brat, tell him he's pretty, compliment on him, his appearance, instead of complimenting on his Christian character. Number 7, let him play during church time. You know, he doesn't understand the message, and so, you know, you sit close to the back and you give him a little color sheet, or you give him a pencil and paper, let him play tic-tac-toe, that's good. Or, you know, pat him on the head if he wants to sleep a little bit, you know, don't snore too loud, son, you know, preacher might hear you, you know, go ahead and sleep a little bit, you know. Now, that's the worst thing you can do. You say, well, preacher, my kid's only 4 or 5 years old, and you think that he's going to understand everything you say? No, he won't understand everything. But he'll, you know what? The Spirit has a way of teaching. Now, I'm up here preaching to you tonight and teaching some things from God's Word, but you know what? There's things that you'll get tonight that I don't even say. See, the Holy Spirit's the one that teaches us. I mean, God's laid this message on my heart, and I'm doing the best that I can to teach and preach tonight and everything, but the Holy Spirit, there'll be something that you'll get out of this tonight that I didn't even really say. Or it might be a scripture that I've read. It might be a point that I said, hey, you know, I never thought of it that way, you know. The Holy Spirit does the teaching, amen? He teaches us, okay? So, if you want to raise a spoiled brat, don't let them listen during the time of the preaching, you know, or when they're singing. When they're singing, let them play around a little bit, you know. Well, as long as he's quiet, preacher, you don't know this guy, you know. He's hyper. I've got pills and stuff down right now, so he won't be jumping over the pews, you know. And, no, that's the worst thing you can do, man. Make him sit up and listen. Make him listen. You say, well, they're going to squirm a little bit. Sure they are. Sure they're going to squirm a little bit. Well, they're going to talk a little bit. They're going to talk a little bit. Mommy, right in the middle when everything is just at the peak of the message. Mommy, when are we going to eat? And you build up this high. And you say, shit, go. You know, you feel about this big. Or just when the invitation is just at the peak and you see people walk down and then your kid looks up to you and he's pulling on you and you're pulling on you so much. When are we going home? I mean, you just feel like, man alive, you know. Don't feel bad. I mean, this is how you teach. The Bible says, train up a child away as you go, when he's always shall not depart from it. It takes a training type thing. I mean, when the fellows, and I've said this many times, but when they go into the, hi, Alan, how you doing over there? Did you like that point? Did you? Good. Well, write it down. I remember when you get to be 22 and have your own kid. All right? But, you know, in the Army, in the Air Force, in the Marines, in the Navy, they train. And that's the same thing that it says here in the book of Psalms. There, it's a training. Train. You know, we get tired as parents. You know, I told that kid 100,000 times. You know, I put that thing in his mouth. You know, well, you didn't tell him 100,000 times. Maybe it was 90,000. I don't know. But, you know, and we get tired. We get tired of that. And we say, when is that kid going to listen to me? You know, well, maybe the 100,000th time, 200,000, I don't know. What I'm trying to say is, raising kids is a it's around the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months a year. It's a training type thing, and you continue to do it. It's not like going in and pushing a button and saying, "Boy, it's all over with. I programmed him. He's fine. I got it on the computer. If there's any problems, I'll just push another button." It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. You ever get a little kid? And I was watching Mrs. Hanks the other night with her little boy, and last night, and she had fed him some milk, and she had him up here, and she was patting the old guy, and all of a sudden you heard, and she wrote nothing about that thing, you know? But she didn't push a button and say, "All right, don't work on me, kid." I mean, it doesn't work that way. It's a training type thing. And that's what we need to remember tonight, that it's training, and it's something that we do out of love. Those sergeants, I was never in the service, and I had the privilege of being in, but those sergeants, those commanders that were over you, I mean, my brother talks to me, both my brothers that were in the service, and Nathan and Mark, and they tell me those guys get a little big. I mean, they get a little hard on you. I mean, especially during boot camp, man, they really get hard. My brother told me some really, really, really some stories, and I didn't know if I should believe it or not, but you know, as I talk to more men, I think what he's telling me is true, you know? But you know what? Those sergeants and those commanders that were all over the men, I mean, they were hard on you because they wanted to see you make it through the combat. They wanted to see you come back home. They trained you that way. And they weren't very easy on you at times. And boy, there was times I'm sure you said a few things on your breath too, didn't you? Don't tell me what it was. But man, you got a little upset about it. You say, "Man, who does that guy think he is, man? That guy's climbing all over my back, and I'm getting tired of it, you know?" And some of the men, you know, talking a little bit. But you know what? You came back, didn't you? You came back from Vietnam. You came back from Korea. Brother Peters, he talks about being in the Korean War. Talks about being in the Second War. Talks about the different, the battalion that he was in, and the tank battalion and so on. When he got shot up, you know. Every once in a while, he'll talk about those things. Okay? But he was trained. And he trained his men. And when he looked over, and I don't mean to be gross tonight or bad or anything like that, but when he looked over, when some of his men was blown out of that tank and their head was laying over on the ground and different arms and legs, and he was sick about that. But you know what? He said, "Hey, you know, he was trained. And that's what we're doing. We're training our kids. Our children are only given to us a short while, and as a loan from the Lord, and He expects us to do right. Number 8. Always think that your child is special. Now, that if you want to spoil your boy or girl, this is how you do it. You think that they're special. I mean, there's no kid. Now, please, and all these things that I say, don't take it wrong. Please, folks. But, you know, you ever been around someone where their kid is more special than anyone else? You know, Johnny, he's brighter than any kid in the whole world. I agree with that. But anyhow, he's brighter. He's better. He's special. No. Now listen, it's nice to love your kids. You should. I do. But don't think that your child is the only one. You know, I this is true. I was out sewing one day when it knocked on his door, and they invited us in. And we were sitting there having a cup of coffee, and I was witnessing to them, the husband and wife and everything. This little girl came in. And I think she was around 5 years old, you know. And the mother began to want to impress me with this little girl. She really did. And she said, "You know, do you know that she's on a seventh grade level?" I looked at her. I said, "Seventh grade? Yes, I've been testing her out, and she's on it. And Matt, she's in the eighth grade." And I said, "Does she do anything on college level yet?" I was just teasing, you know. It's okay to take pride in your kids, a godly pride, and love your children. But don't think that they're just the only special one on the block. Number 9, when eating, if he or she doesn't want to eat something, don't make them. Let them be picky. I mean, you're getting ready to have your kids, right? I mean, you're going to have some, right? Now, you are. Miss Bergman's out in the nursery, right? Now, I really believe that God's going to allow them to have some children. I just hope that when they're born, they're not as ugly as you, Brother Bergman. Take after Mrs. Bergman's time. Not, man, I'll tell you. Just teasing with you. But, you know, When eating, if he doesn't want to eat something, you know, he wants to be a little picky, then just let him be picky. If she wants to be a little picky, just let her be picky. Now, remember, you're raising a spoiled brat. Let's go on here. Number 10, don't have family altar. Now, I want to tell you something. One of the greatest things that ever happened in my life was family altar. I want to tell you, you'll curb a lot of problems in your home. You'll have kids turn out right for God. You really will if you have a family at home. But now, if you just want him to go to church once in a while, you know, get his spiritual needs that way. Listen, I want to tell you something. This church, as much as I love it, is not a replacement for your home. The Christian school, as much as I love the Christian school and all the teachers, it's not a replacement for your home. That's where the training takes place, folks. We blame the preacher. We blame our Sunday school teachers. We blame the Christian day school teachers. We say, man, I tell you, why would they send those kids to that Christian school? And then look what happened. Uh-huh. What have you done in your home? I want to tell you something. I love your children. I love the teenagers. But I want to tell you, nothing takes the place of mom and dad. I don't care what anybody says. See, God ordained the home. Amen? Amen? And God ordained the church. But God ordained mom and dad in the home to teach and to rear them, to love them, to bring them up in the Lord. If your kids, if they're going to turn out right, they're not going to be spoiled brats, then it's going to come through a family altar. You know, it's going to come through prayer. You know, isn't it odd that we hear a lot of great preachers from this pulpit, and we go here in different places. You know what they'll tell you? They'll tell you, why is this down here, do you know? They'll tell you, put it back up here. You know what they'll tell you? They'll say, I remember my mother when she prayed for me. You know that? I remember my mother when she prayed for me. Or I remember my mother when she read the Bible. You know, what do our kids got to look back over? I remember my mother when she yelled at me. I remember my dad. He's a pretty quiet boy. And, I mean, what do they remember us for, really? What do they remember us for? Okay, and many of you have special things in your life and in your family that you remember that was very special. Maybe it happened Christmas time, maybe it happened on a birthday, but you remember very special things. Okay, good things. Well, what are our children going to remember? What's our kids going to remember? Well, they're going to look back and say, boy, I remember my mom when she prayed. I remember my dad when he read the Bible. I remember my folks. It was real in their heart. They weren't two-faced, boy. It was real. When they went to church, they lived it at home, man. You know, is that what our kids are going to remember? What are they going to remember? Well, you want to spoil your kids, don't have family altar, don't pray. But number 11, instill their authority is against them. Downgrade all authority, such as police, pastor, teachers, anything with authority. Just downgrade them. I mean, just do this because we know that adults make mistakes too, you know. I want to tell you, the worst thing you can do is downgrade authority. I want to tell you what you're doing, folks. When you downgrade the policeman out here, and he's got a red light on him, you go by and you go, that cop, he's got it in for everybody to know. He stopped me a month ago, and I was only going 35 over the speed limit. That jerk thing he's doing. No, do you see what I'm trying to say? There's a disrespect there. And you know what happens? And the end result, mom and dad, the end result is you tear down your authority when you do that. When you downgrade authority, if it be a Sunday school teacher, if it be a pastor, if it be the policeman, if it be the mayor, whoever it may be, okay, you tear down authority, you gripe, you complain, you say this, you say that, all you're doing, you're instilling in those kids, one day, they're going to buck you. One day, they're going to sass you. One day, you're going to have a problem. Because, see, you're downgrading authority. You say, well, preacher, do you ever make a mistake?
Sure do.
Do you ever make a mistake? Yes, I have. In fact, I've made quite a few of them. But by God's grace, I keep going. By God's grace, I keep going and doing my best. See, the thing is this, if you downgrade authority, one day the authority that God's given you, see, Dad, the Billy Cans over here, see, your son, Alan here, does not see God, but he sees you. God put Dad, Buchanan, in the home and said, Brother Cannon, I want you to be me in the home. Now, I don't mean to sacrilege, but you're God in the home, according to the Bible. I don't mean to sacrilege, I'm not saying you're God's God up there, okay? But what God did, he transferred some authority to you. And when you became a dad, from your first, that's you, right? Okay. To the little, this is right over here. What God was saying to Brother Cannon is, Brother Cannon, I'm not going to be in your home physically, outwardly,
So therefore, you take my place in that home. Now you put Mrs. Buchanan in the home. She married Brother Buchanan, and there's the oldest over there, all the way down to the youngest right over here. And you know what Mrs. Buchanan's position is in the home? She's the Holy Spirit of the home. Sure. She's the Holy Spirit of the home. Now, I'm not going to go through all that, but God put Mom and Dad in the home to rear the kids. Okay? What number are we on?
Just finished 11.
Number 12. Argue with your mate in front of him or her. You want to raise a spoiled brat? Argue with your mate in front of your kids. Number 13. Never let him fight for himself. Always be there to defend him. Or let Big Brother be around to fight his battles for him. I'm going to tell you something. This might be a surprise, but there are some times I came home with bloody lips. I'll never forget one time. I got to tell you this. I was a freshman in high school. Now, you know freshmen in high school. We used to call them greenies. Well, what did you call freshmen in high school? Did you have a name for them?
Freshies.
Freshies? All right. They used to call us greenies. They call them freshies, huh? Over there. What's another name that they used? Anyone have a different name that they used to use when the eighth grade graduated and became freshmen in high school? Was there any other names that they used?
Smart-ups.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Smart-ups. All right. Now, I'll never forget. I wasn't in probably high school 1 week, and I say I had Nathan, he'd already graduated, and Jenny was there, and there was Rocky was there, and Rita was there, and here comes me, you know. And see, I had Big Brother and Roger, Dr. Hanks. He wrestled, he got all kinds of ribbons and certificates, and he always had the muscles. I had it here, he had it here, all right. And I confess it. So this one day. This is the first week of high school. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And it was just before school was started. I went and put my books in the locker. And this fellow said, let's go to town and get a coat. I said, hey, that'd be great. And so where the Tasty Freeze is in Crown Point right now, it's down on corners, out of business, where the Tasty Freeze is, there's some fellows that were sitting on a fish out there. Me and this other guy, we come walking down through here, and there's this guy. And he had a cigarette. And he flipped it out at me. And I stopped and I said, pick it up. Now, this guy was a seat. I said, pick it up. He walked up to me. I mean, he didn't say nothing. He walked up to me, took his fist, and yes, as hard as he could, hit me right in the mouth. Well, I puffed up a little bit, and I didn't want to know I was crying. I said, you're going to pay for that. And I turned around and I walked back up to the high school and I got a hold of my brother. And I told my brother, right there, I said, that's what's going on. He said, come on, let's go. Who is it? You know, he went down. He didn't go down to fight, but he went with me. What did he do, this guy? And he went down there and he started talking to this guy. And then this guy said, hey, I didn't know this is your brother. He said, he's a typical greenie, and I'm ready to go again, you know. I was going to clean this guy's plow. You already knocked me one. I already got a pickle up on him, and I'm going to show him. And I got a big brother, you know, in case I can't do the job, you know. They talked a little bit. They laughed a little bit. The guy said, hey, I'm sorry. You know, he said, I know who you were. I wouldn't have bothered you. You know, so I got out of it that way. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, when we're freshmen, we think we're really cool. I don't mean in a bad sense. We're just big macho, like, you know. Or we can just... Hey, I want to tell you something. That taught me a lesson. I never picked on another senior as long as I was. I wasn't picking on the guy. He's the one that licked the cigarette. I thought I showed him a thing or two, but I didn't. He showed me a thing or two. Now listen. Never let him fight for himself. Now my brother, he didn't come down there to fight, but he came down there. I asked him to. He came down there. Just to talk to him. He knew the guy. Senior, both of them graduated together, you know. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes, little Bobby's going to get hurt. Sometimes he's going to fall out of a tree. Sometimes, little Bobby, he's going to get a little pet. Look. Now, you want to spoil a kid, keep him away from all fights, away from all trees, away from all girls. Keep away from all runways. My wife, for instance, she just the other day gave Scott 40 cents to go play up there at Toll Road. Just see them. Forget it. Never let him fight for himself. Always be there to defend him. You say, well, preacher, there's times that someone's going to hurt my kid. I'm going to tell you something. I got in a lot of fights when I was growing up. And you know what? I grew up to be pretty good size. Didn't hurt me. I was in eighth grade, I believe it was. Seventh or eighth grade. And I told you this before, but it's true. I always carried my Bible. And one day this fellow, he was just cussing up a storm, and he come over there, and I don't remember what God sent to it, you know, but he started swearing. I said, don't swear in front of me. And I got in a fight with that guy. I did. I got in a fight, and a couple of teachers came out and jerked us into the office, and he was suspended, and I got a whipping and all kinds of stuff, you know. I want to tell you something. One thing my dad never did, he never entered into my fights. You know what Dad used to say? He may not know this, and that's fine. I'm calling my boys now. He said, listen, son. Strike first. If the guy's bigger than you, get an equalizer. What I meant by that was a 2x4. No, really. Listen, if you from a little kid with little bodies this long, if you're always fighting for him, he's going to grow up and be a full guy. Yes, he is. Now let's go on. Number 15, are we? 14. All right, don't teach them to have manners. Because this teaching, they will not appreciate anything they are given, okay? Listen, you want to raise a spoiled brat? Listen, I want to tell you something. Every one of you boys, and every one of you girls, you automatically ought to say thank you. Automatically. When mom goes and gets something for you, if she irons your shirt in the morning, if she washes your clothes, I ought to say thank you. And you never get too old to use manners. Right. You never get too old, and it ought to become part of you. I mean, your mom ought to say, what do you say? What do you say? You go, huh? What do you say? You're at the table, you know, and you want the potatoes? Pass the spuds, please. No, well, most times, I can confess again, I used to do that, didn't I, Mom? I used to point. I didn't used to point. I was a little shy kid. I know you don't believe that, but I was. I was a shy kid. I used to point for stuff. But finally, you know what I get? She didn't pass anything. No! Will you please pass the potatoes? Will you please pass the meat? Will you please pass? Thank you. You're welcome. Great. Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you something. You ought to have some manners. You guys got to open the doors for the ladies. Nowadays, it's the other way around. The lady runs around with the guy in the car, you know. No, I mean, backwards today, you know. Really, I'm very archaic. Did you know that? No, I didn't say I went to archaic. I sound very archaic. I mean, my wife said I was born in the wrong era. I mean, some people think that I was born during the Renaissance period. They said, you really teach those kids to say thank you, and you're welcome, and please, and sure do. We need that back.
Amen.
That's one reason I thank God for President Reagan. He's bringing back, patriotism and bringing back a spirit of renewal. He's finally getting around to the Vietnam vets, and I'm very much for that. I still believe God has something for him. I think they ought to be paid for being in Vietnam. I mean, they ought to receive that insurance or the money or whatever it is for when they use that Agent Orange over there. I'm a firm believer that all the guys ought to be recompensed for that. Well, let's go on here. You want your kid to grow up? Don't let them say please. You want them to grow up and be a spoiled brat? Just let them take everything for granted. Hey, that's fine. You know? Teach them manners. Teach them to say thank you. You're welcome and please. Please, and so on and so forth. All right? Number what? 15?
Yes.
Teach them not to work. You want to raise this fall breath? Teach them not to work. Teach them not to work. In other words, don't give them any chores. You say, well, my kid is only 4 years old, 5 years old. What can he do? He can't go out and work on labor on the road. I'm glad you brought that up. You can pick up his toys. Poor Jim, you gonna pick up his toys? Are you kidding? He'll pay for all over if he's going to them. Oh, I'll teach him a little chores. Pick up his toys. I mean, let them do little things that's helpful, that builds character, and that make them mean something, have something in life. Of course, if you give them no chores to do around the house, if he doesn't do anything, then you're going to raise a spoiled brat. Teach them to do stuff. Teach your girls to things. Teach your girls how to comb her hair and take pride in looking beautiful and nice, not just on the outside, but on the inside. All right? What else? 16, dress them cool, classy, and mod, because that is keeping up with the times. Cool, classy, and mod. Not mod on TV, I said mod. Really. You say, well, where's Al? Come here for a minute, Al. Use you for example here today. Come on up here. Reuben, come on up here, will you? Look at these guys. Man, this guy's got a pair of shoes on. Huh? How come you're not barefoot at church? Why? Oh, okay. Okay, look at that. Look at these guys, huh? Look at these guys. Sam? Hey, Joshua? Come on, don't worry. Now, look at these guys. Look at these guys. Okay. All right. Yeah, that's it. Hide behind the pulpit. Now, he looks nice. I don't think he looks like a square. I think he looks like a Christian. Right? Well, sure. He looks nice. Got a pair of shoes on, pants, tie, everything. I'm not saying you have to dress up everywhere you go, but I want to tell you something. Brother, sister, you can. You're teaching your boy a little character out there when you teach him. Yes. But see, now what happens when he comes a teenager, you know? Pulls off his coat, pulls off his shirt, wears a necklace around. Woo! Woo, baby! Is that what? No. You keep this guy dressing like that. You know what? He's a nice young man. He'll make a wonderful husband one of these days. All right, have a seat if you wish. Look at this guy right here. What's your name? You visiting tonight? No, I don't know. Look how nice he looks. Doesn't he look nice? Oh, he's nice. All right, go ahead. Look at this. What's your name? Who? Look sharp. This is Joshua. This is one of my buddies here. All of you guys are my buddies. How are you tonight? You fine? Okay, you have a seat now. Okay. What are they doing with these boys? They're teaching them something. Now, if they're consistent in their teaching, one day Mom and Dad Buchanan, one day Mom and Dad Vargas, one day Mom and Dad Wells are going to be able to look back. And their kids are going to honor you guys, and they're going to love you, and they're going to take care of you when you get old. Now, that's something to look forward to. Why? Because you taught them some care. Someone said, I just don't think the clothes have anything to do with it. Well, okay, that's the way you do it. But I'm afraid you're going to see that you're wrong. It does have something to do with it. It does have something to do with it. The outside reflects what's on the inside. Now, not always, but the inside should portray, penetrate Jesus Christ now, that we see Jesus Christ. All right? But you want to raise a spoiled brat, just dress them cool, classy, mod, you know. No. Dress them where he can take pride in himself. Dress where he can, you know, he can go to the mirror and learn how to do his own time. Dress where he can comb his hair. Dress where he shines his shoes. Dress where he gets some character. And when the kid gets to be a teenager, you'll have something. Because you trained him right. All right? Let's go on. What number?
17.
Number 17? When young, don't bring your children to church. Don't bring your kids to church. Man, I see a lot of people do that. They say, well, I don't think it's important. You know, they don't understand anything anyway. You know what that happens in the nurseries? I'll tell you what. They learn a lot. They learn interaction. Amen? They learn how to get along with other kids. They learn that everybody picks up the toys. They learn their ABCs. They learn their colors. They learn how to count to 10 or 20 or whatever it is out in our nurseries. It's important, folks. It's important. When our kids were young, just in a crib, my wife knows this, I went and I prayed over them. And I know that people say, I'm kind of dumb. I can't understand that prayer. I prayed over him for because I want to learn things right when you're young and as you grew up. And I think we need to do that. Let's go on. Number 18. Every time he gets a cold or a sniffle, keep him away from church. Now you think about that. You pray about that. You think about that. Every time he gets a little cold or a sniffle, you know, you're raising a spoiled brat now. You say, well, preacher, I don't think that it's wise to bring a boy or a girl to church if they're sick. No, I don't either. If they're sick, you keep them home. If they're sick, they don't come to church. You know, you may not agree with this, but I'm going to tell you anyhow. You know, there's a lot of times where Susan comes to me just before church and says,
oh, Dad, my stomach hurts.
Well, I take 8 months meal. That's what happens. And my wife will say, well, honey, you think I'll keep him home? I say, does she have a fever? No. You got a fever? Then I'll have this. Is it something you think that she's catching or she has and she's going to give it to someone else? Well, I don't know. I say, well, I'll tell you what. I know for a fact how the devil does things. I know for a fact how the devil does things. There is a headache. You got what? A headache. Oh, did you? I didn't know you had anything up there to eat. Oh, Dad, don't be funny. Oh, No, listen. Brother William Sr. Now, I know he's sick here. He couldn't hear, but I know Brother Williams has said this. I know others in this church said, you know, I came tonight and I felt pretty rough, but I came anyway, and you know what? I feel better now. I feel better now. I don't care who said that. But, I mean, if they got a little snuffle, just a little cold, something that's not catching, something that you know, bring them to church. Have them here. You say, well, preacher, if they got something that's catching, keep them away. I'll be the first to say it. Keep them away. Don't bring them. Okay? Number 19. Buy a lot of toys, big things, for him or her. I mean, if you're going to raise a spoiled brat, we're going to tear you here, but if you're going to raise a spoiled brat, I mean, go out and buy the biggest things there is and the most expensive things there is and give them. Just give all the lot and you're raised. That's right. Number 20. Never spank him. Just ground him. Send him in a corner or send him to his room or say, no TV for the day. Man, you want to raise a spoiled brat? The Bible says spank him. That's what the Bible says. We went through all those verses that dealt with them. But today, well, preacher, I get so tired. I don't think it really hurts him. He's got a rubber hind end. Now, that's what the devil wants you to think. That you raised a kid with a rubber hind end. What do you think you are, Mr. Goodrich? No, I'm just asking. You think that you're Mr. Goodyear or something? I mean, you really have something special, don't you? I want to tell you something. They never get too old, and if they need a good old heart licking, give them a good old heart licking. I want to tell you something. I'm a firm believer now, more than ever, grounding is not the thing to do. Now, if you do that, that's fine. That's faith in God. But the only thing, I never see where God says, if Bobby misbehaves, go set him in the corner. The Bible, over and over, the book of Psalms and Proverbs, and who knows the verses? Get the rod out, give it to him. You see, that's how you're getting a bad attitude out of your kid. Because, see, you're not driving, you're not breaking his will, and you're not driving the sin that's in his heart away from him. You're not breaking his spirit. Oh, yeah, he's all over here, and he's sitting in the corner somewhere, or he doesn't have TV, he's up in his room, he's pouncing, he's mad. Oh, my mom, I tell you, I just told him about my mom, I don't know who think she is, I tell you, and see, he's up there just talking to himself. But I'll tell you one thing, you get the old belt out, you get the board out, you put it against their hind end. You will drive that bad spirit, and that's what it is, a bad spirit. You know, I've been in homes where kids sass their mothers and their dads are sitting right there and nothing ever happens to them. I've been in homes all out soul winning where little girls have, I'll tell you a good one. I was at the hospital. Who was with me? My brother was. I won't tell you who it was because you wouldn't know him anyway. I went to the hospital. This just happened last week. I went to the hospital. There was two boys that were sitting up in this room with a relative. And
I walked in and passing, walked over to the lady that I was visiting, and began to talk to her a little bit. My brother was out there. And you know what this little boy said? She yes, my brother didn't sit down.
I thought it was funny until he attacked me.
He went over the doctor and he went, I stand there, I look over there, you know, and I look back. I continue my talk. About that time, that little boy, he went to Dr. Max. I thought that was kind of funny. I didn't laugh out loud. I didn't go, oh, what's cute, you know? No, I didn't. You know? And so here, this guy's over here, and he said, now don't do that, you know, and my brother, he says, hi, you know, just kind of make it funny, you know, and so I have prayer, we have our scripture reading and everything, and I go over to shake hands with these two boys, I shook hands with a man, I want to reach out hand, this guy's a little timid, you know, but he puts his hand out and I shake hands, I go to shake hands with this guy. I said, don't you want to shake hands with me? I said, oh, that's okay. You know what he did? He stood up in his chair and he starts punching this thing like it's a, what do you call those things? A punching bag. I couldn't believe it. I was stunned. I mean, he just didn't hit me one time. And this guy over here goes, hey, don't do that. Now, that's not nice. That's a pastor you do that to. That's very bad. It's very bad if you do it. Don't do that, please. And this guy, I said, you know, I'd like to have you in my Christian school. I really was. He jumped off the chair. This happened. Just last week. Guy jumps off his chair, just like that. And then he takes his shoe and he starts stomping my brand new shoe. I never met these guys before. I never seen it before. And here, see, it seemed a little funny with Dr. Hank, but when it happened to me, it wasn't funny at all. See, that's where we all are. That's very cute. That's real nice. That was real good. Yeah, that was real good. But when it happens to us, that's not a threat. So we're walking out, you know, and we go outside, and Dr. Hanks, he says, I'm really surprised you didn't do nothing to the kid. I said, no, I'm going to pray. He goes, what are you going to pray? I said, I'm going to pray. He said, what are you going to pray? I said, I'm going to pray. He said, what are you going to pray? We're talking down home. I'm praying that next year that kid enrolls in our kindergarten. Anybody that has Miss Yates. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I just turn him over to her. Think that kid got away with something? No way, man. But that actually happened. Now, here was a grown man over here. There was a grown man here, and he was trying to talk them not to do it. And these kids were smart, brother. You ever meet a kid like that before? Hey? Well, I've never been used for a punching bag like that before. He thought it was funny. He thought it was real funny. I've never had anyone do that to my stomach before. And now we're losing all this weight. Hey, come next September, he won't see no. Be gone. What number was that, brother?
21.
Never spank him. That's 20, right?
Yeah.
Listen, you want to raise this full brat? Listen, you want to raise this full brat? Never spank him! You see, I talked to a lady. Now, this is honest, I'm going to tell you this. You listen. She said, my boys, I never had to spank. They were so good. I never had to spank my boys, Pastor. And I thought for a moment, oldest son, went AWOL from the service, been married 3 times. No, I'm telling you the truth. This is the honest truth. If I told you who it was, some of you know who it was, but I'm not here to hurt people. Went AWOL from the service, listen to me, been married 3 times. That's the first son. The second son was arrested right over here for attacking a woman. That's right. It was a young lady, not a girl, but I mean a young lady, about 18, 19 years old. He attacked her. Now that was second son. See, and the kids don't go to church, and they grew up not going to church, and now they still don't go to church. And the other boy was just arrested this last week for stealing from Kmart. Three boys. And here the mother can stand before this pastor and tell me she had the best boys in the world. And she didn't have to spank them boys. Granted, I think the mother should have been spanked, but anyhow, just teasing. Now, if you think for a moment you can reason with your kids and you can talk to your kids and they're going to grow up and you never have to, I'm not talking about browbeating, I'm not talking about beating them where you hurt them. I say about spanking the Bible way. Number 21, let him or her watch TV any hour of the day or night, and let him watch anything he wants to. I mean, that's, you're going to raise a spoiled brat. Just have no schedule at all. Let them go to bed when they want to. Let them get up when they want to. Let them watch what they want to. Let them have a TV in the room, their room. Let them have a tape recorder there. Let them have a... Let him have a radio there if he wants it, you know, or she wants it. Let them just do what? Let them eat in the room. Hey, folks, that's a famous saying. Let the kid eat in the room and not with the family. You're raised a spoiled brat. Well, number 22. When he is young, let him whine and throw temper tantrums. Pout and act hateful. I mean, remember, you're raising a spoiled brat, right? I mean, this is how to do it. When he's young, let him whine. Let him throw his temper tantrums. Pout from that table. 23. When he marks on the wall with a crayon or a pencil, just laugh and think it's cute. Well, you're raising a real goodie here, aren't you? Well, I tell you, I remember marking on the wall one time. I don't want to remember when I marked on the wall. My mother, she tanned my eye. I mean, she tanned me. And she didn't put any lotion on when she done either. You ever hear the expression, I couldn't sit down for a week? Don't think, well, Mom and Dad ain't got done with you. You felt like you couldn't sit down for a lot longer than that. Today's just an expression. What number are we on? Number 24? Just don't cram religion down his throat. Thus teaching him not to go to the preacher, because the preacher might let everybody know his problems. Don't count religion down his throat. Don't tell him the pastor's his friend. Don't tell him that. Make him afraid of the pastor. I'm going to tell you something. I think that I'm not trying to rule your homes. That's not my place to. I'm a pastor. I'm going to be the leader to lead, not to push, to shove, or to dictate in your homes. I think a pastor, there ought to be a relationship. Pastor comes over to your house and eats. I love blueberry pie and chocolate pie. No, I'm just teasing about that. No, I'm not teasing about that, but I mean, I'm teasing about, you know, fixing himself. But I think he needs to know the pastor and his wife and his kids. I think that she'll be able to come in and talk to the pastor and study. You know, a lot of kids are afraid to come in my study. You say, well, preacher, you made them that way. Well, there has to be respect and honor and reverence there, but I mean, they ought to know that I'm their friend. But I don't know, man, you know, they get a rough problem. No, they come to Mom and Dad. They don't come to preacher first. They come to Mom and Dad. But, you know, occasionally it's good for Dad to say, or Mom to say, hey, you know what? I think it might be good if we just go out and let the preacher talk with us a little bit. Pray about that, will you? I mean, when they're small, and as they get older, they're going to know that the preacher cares for them. You know, most of the time, the only time the preacher's called, a wedding and a funeral. That's right. Wedding and a funeral. I think a pastor ought to be used more than that. I think a pastor ought to know the children better than that. I think that the kids ought to know that, hey, you know, he's not just when I get in trouble and get thrown in jail and I know the pastor will be there. He ought to be one that he looks at the preacher, hey, he can pray with me about that. Hey, he understands it. Now, I want to tell you kids something. I'll tell you right now so you understand it. This preacher is not a preacher for your mom and dad. this preacher is not a replacement for your mom and dad. Your mom and dad is the ones where you should go to and talk to and let them pray with you. Now what I'm supposed to do as a spiritual leader is sit down with God's holy word and just share some things and give you strength and maybe encouragement and some principles from God's will. Then you do what God lays on your heart. That's right. What number one, brother? We're almost done. Run his life for him. Make his life what you are or could not be when you were growing up. I see this all the time. I talk to a lady, and I'm only closing here. I want to close this out, so I won't be on it anymore. This is it. Right, the last people. Run his life for him. Take his life what... You know, so many moms and dads are like this. You know, they got the wrong mate. And they're bound to determine that their kids aren't going to get the wrong mate. Or sometimes they're just bound and determined. Now, you folks, you adults that sat here today, this might rub you wrong, but I want you to listen very carefully. I've learned a lot of things from moms and dads, my mom and dad. But the one thing that stuck in my mind is when I got married, they did not rule my wife and I and my family, nor any of my brothers and sisters. And they didn't want to. When Dad was alive, he was a very domineering man at times. He was. As my wife would say, she teaches Christian psychology, he was a core at all. And I'm a melancholy. But my dad, he was choleric. If there was anyone choleric, does everyone know the four temperaments? I'm the meek and the timid and the mild and the no. But you know what? My dad came to me when I came to my dad and I said, I met the one that I wanted to marry. My dad said this. He said, listen, son, when you get married now, I think she's a very fine young lady. And I really think you're getting a good wife. But you remember, when you get married, you don't come to me anymore. I said, what do you mean? He said, you can ask me any questions you want with her present. But I'm going to tell you now, I've done my best to raise you. Now you make your bed, you lie in it. That was his philosophy. And I have to be honest with you, as choleric and as stern and as strict as my dad was, he never. When I became a pastor, I was his preacher. He called me pastor. Many of you heard him. He called me pastor. Never called him out of prison. Never said son in church. He was a deacon. He never called him out of prison. He said pastor. He referenced the office. He realized what he needed to do. And that's the one thing that I learned from my mom and dad was where I belong and where I don't belong. I told my wife, I had one day, Dave's going to get married. Hopefully. So I want to have him. And Scott. Oh. Do you know what the price tag is in feeding these guys? Wow. But anyhow, I want to tell you boys right now, when you get married, I know, I'm chloric. Is that right? No, Tommy, I'm sorry. I'm melancholy. But I want to tell you something, you guys. When you get married, I've done all I can to raise you. I've done all I can to raise you. You girls, Susan, Mary. When you get to that age, if the Lord tarries, you get married. Your mom and I—we've done what we could to raise you. And when you get married, and when you exchange those vows, that's it. You can come for advice, but I tell you right now, I'm sure most of the advice my wife's gonna have, I'm gonna tell her. She can all out of her neck. And that's the one thing I learned from my mom and dad, and I thank God for them. My mom looked at me, she never called me and said, son, I think you better straighten this thing out. And you do it my way. Now what I'm trying to say to you is this, okay? Don't run your kids' lives. You've done your best to raise them. Now let them run their own lives. Don't you be a part of it. You let them take charge now once they get away from home. Dave, he's already ready. I'm going to say this. He's already looking forward to getting his wheels, getting his own little apartment or whatever he's going to do when he graduates from high school.
You know what, Dave? I can't wait either. I'm rooting for you. I really, I'm standing back and I'm rooting for you. I am. I can't wait, Dave, till you get that car payment. Till you pay for that insurance. Till you make those law changes. And you pay for them. I mean, you pay your own rent. And you buy your own food. Glory! I just saved $500 a week, I think. Grocery bill. I'm just kidding, man. I love you guys. I really do. But I know. I said what you said. I said what you seen you said. I know what you're thinking.
Can't wait.
I know it. I can't either for you. I'll wish you the best. I can see it now. Hey, Dad, my insurance bill is due, they tack a lot of insurance on a kid, I see him now, like, coming home, you know, and he's lost 65 pounds from fixing his own bills, you know, and he says, Dad, you have $1.65 for a Burger King. All right, I know what you're saying, Dave. That's not going to happen to me. Tires that never wear out. All good for 20,000 miles. Insurance, that's not anything. Got in the bucket. No, I want to tell you something, Dave. I'm going to tell you in front of the whole church. I put you on the spot. I'm going to tell you something. When you get old enough to leave home, and when you want to leave, you go right ahead. Go out the front door, not the back door. And I love you, and I'll always be your dad. Anytime you got a question you want to ask Mom and me, you can come back and ask us. Anytime you want to come for supper, you know, call up and let me know first. But yet, I'm not going to run your life. David, you're 17 years old. When are you going to be 18? I've done the best I know how, Dave. I love you. I haven't been the perfect dad. I know I haven't. I love you, but I'm not going to run your life anymore. When you come to your mom and me and you say, I think it's time for me to leave, if it's college, if it's the army, if it's get your own place, I love you. I'll always be your dad. David, you're on your own. Cheers. I won't run your life. I won't tell you I don't like your apartment. I won't tell you that I don't like that you should have a different kind of car in Dubai. Because see, I've done my best up to when you leave. After that, it's all yours. I love you. Be there if you need me. But I'm not going to boss you no more. If you go out and you have a relationship with a girl, that's wrong. That's wrong. Because the Bible says you're supposed to be married. See, I already taught you that. You come to my home, David, you're welcome in our home. The home the church provides for us. But if you come, you go by the standards that I have and I preach all these years. You want to grow your hair long? I'm not going to condemn you. I'm not going to condemn you. You know what the Bible says. But if you come and eat at my table, you don't have a haircut right. Okay? That's the way I am. Some of you people in this room, you fret, you worry, you spend nights up, hours. You know why? Because you never learn to let go yet. You never learn to let go. And until you do, you're just going to make life miserable. Number 26 for yourself. Number 26, let him think that that the world owes him a living. Do this by letting him make demands of you and fulfill each and every one of his demands, no matter what the cost. I guess so. Let me say that one more time. I only got two more and I'm going to close. I know time's away. Let him think that the world owes him a living. I want to tell you something. The world owes us nothing. And actually, God owes us nothing. When God, listen, I'm not going to dwell on this, but God saved me.
and he didn't have to do that. God saved me, and he didn't have to do that. God saved me, and he didn't have to do that. God owes me nothing. And this world owes me nothing. God has allowed me to live in America, the greatest country in all the world. And buddy, all I have to do is just put my shirt or my coat sleeves up and go to work. There's jobs. The world owes me nothing. You want to raise a spoiled brat? You do everything for them. You give them everything or her, whatever it may be, he or her. You fulfill each and everything they want, their demand, and you've raised a spoiled brat. You have raised a monster that you don't know how to control. Number 27. Always let him say his peace, even if it's sassing and rebellious. Now, folks, this is a place I cannot park. I must stop. But this is a place you really need to pray about. How many fathers? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. That's good. I exhort you from God's word tonight. Don't let your kids sass your wife. Don't let your children sass your wife or their mother. That's not right. That's not right. Don't let them sass your mother. Someone say, well, can he talk at all, preacher? The way you're saying it, you just got to have a thumb on. No. There is a difference between a child sapping and a child expressing his thumb. There's a difference. There's a difference of showing and respect. It's getting cold in this church. Is it cold to you? I'm about to freeze to death. I can't get out. Let me give you the last point. Are you cold? Did I burn a storm? No. We're going home. 28. I'm hungry. That's spiritual, isn't it? 28. This is it. When they get old enough, let them decide. I already said that. Let them decide about church. 4 or 5 years old. Let them decide if they want to go or not. Okay, that's it. All right, that's it. Bow your head. Close your eyes.